tools, some musical instruments, and so much more. 200 five-star Google reviews. Customer service is always their number one priority. Go see Joe at Yankee Peddler and Pawn at 7 Pitkin Street in East Hartford and tell them Gary sent you.
Number one for breaking news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor. The Talk of Connecticut. AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
I know you heard this. We chatted about this a little bit yesterday morning. I'm trying to think who did we chat? Who did I chat with yesterday? Oh, Eric Berthel, State Senator Eric Berthel. And if you weren't able to join us or yesterday for that time, I'll just kind of reiterate this. You know, there was a major debate last week in the Appropriations Committee. The debate had to do whether the term should be pregnant persons as opposed to expectant mothers. All right, now hold on a second now. Pregnant persons or expectant mothers? Well, a pregnant person could only be an expectant mother. I don't know any other way around that. But listen to this, because maybe an unlikely person or representative kind of came through and articulated why it should be expectant mothers and not pregnant persons. And it's not necessarily because she is a Democrat, because State Senator Joan Hartley, who is a very, very moderate Democrat senator, I think she's out of the Waterbury area, if I remember correctly. I expected her to vote along with it, and she did, with expectant mothers. But it was a woman who I probably have not much in common with, although I got to tell you, I always got along with her. I'm talking about State Representative Robin Porter, who gave a brilliant, testimony or debate, maybe is the better word, as to why the term should be expectant mother and not pregnant persons, and what that resulted in was the bill passing with the word, again, expectant mothers rather than pregnant persons. It wasn't originally going to go down like that because there's a very woke, fraction of the Democrat Party, as you all well know. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 7-Eleven here on this Tuesday morning. Our first guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair is the chairman of the Connecticut Republican Party, who joins us every other Tuesday. Let's welcome back to the show Ben Proto. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are we doing today?
Oh, we are fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm just ducky.
Oh, good. That's what
day out today. Yes. The black magic of the eclipse didn't seem to, do anything. The temples didn't move. The pyramids didn't open. So I guess we're safe.
Well, you were expecting the worst, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, you got a couple people out there, talking about the black magic of the eclipse when, just kind of seems like two celestial bodies moving in the way they normally do. I don't know. The world's kind of crazy lately. Well, yeah, as you just kind of mentioned when we talked about, pregnant persons. My favorite one on that, though, was Martha Marks, State Senator Martha Marks, who everyone should know, by the way, is a registered nurse, thought we should include the term pregnant fathers because we're going to go down a slippery slope, with this, with her words, if we didn't do this, that, we have to include everybody. And it kind of scares me that she actually passed an anatomy class as a nursing student, that she thinks that fathers can get pregnant. That's kind of scary.
I'd love to have her describe how that could actually happen. How does that occur?
No idea. I don't know. I don't think I want to know. I don't think she knows. As I watched the debate, and if you haven't seen it, you can find it on YouTube because it's kind of funny to watch. At one point, they were going to try to rule the expectant mother amendment out of order, that it didn't apply to the bill that was being discussed, which had to do, interestingly enough, with mental health issues for children. So somehow we went from mental health issues to children to fathers getting pregnant. Again, only the Democrats, I think, can make that leap. I'm not sure how they make that leap, but they seem to make that leap. And you were right in, you know, when you talked about it in the lead-in, that the argument for expectant mothers, and really for what should really be kind of, I think, language that I think everyone can agree on, that a person who's pregnant is a woman, is a mother, came from Robin Porter, a very liberal, progressive Democrat from New Haven, along with other members of the Black and Hispanic caucus. And, you know, her position was, you know, I'm a mother and I'm a grandmother, and no one has, the only thing people have ever called me are mom, mom, mother, grandma. No one's ever said, hey, expectant, you know, hey, pregnant person, my child has never referred to me as that. And so, you know, it kind of gave me some hope that maybe some folks on the other side can actually see what this is about. And it's just, it's, you know, everything we seem to be doing lately seems to be trying to redefine our vocabulary, redefine how people are viewed in ways that make it more comfortable for some, but more offensive to others. And, you know, it's interesting when they say that, well, if you don't do this and you don't use the term pregnant person, you're going to offend people. And I think Robin Porter, to her credit, said, no, time out here. The people you are going to offend are actually the women and the mothers of the world and the grandmothers of the world.
And apparently that went over pretty well, so much so that she persuaded fellow Democrats to vote with her who originally were not going to.
Yes. And kudos to her for that. You know, I mean, I understand she's on the other side, but, you know, kudos to her for that, for leading that debate and being passionate about it and believing in it and saying, look, you know, there comes a point in time when partisan politics and partisan philosophy have to be put aside for common sense. This is common sense, folks.
I would love to ask Martha Marks, though, as a nurse, if she could please explain how men get pregnant, and I'll give her all the airtime that she needs to explain that, because she's going to need a lot of airtime to explain that.
Yeah. She may need your whole week.
Well, and she's the sad part is that she's a nurse. I think that's the, you know, it's one thing if you're just some woke and progressive liberal Democrat who's trying to pander, you know, to the far left. She's a nurse. She had a tremendous amount of biology classes, I would imagine, to get her nursing license, to obtain it. You know, I mean, how? I'm all ears. Just explain to me how this happens. How men can be birthing. I'm baffled by this, but I'll give her the time if she wants it.
Yeah, I might have been absent that day in biology class, but
or that week.
Or that week or that entire year. But yeah, it's just, you know, and we're just seeing more and more of it, Gary. And you know, at some point, you just want to look at everybody in Hartford and you want to look at everybody in Washington and go, can everybody just stop for a minute and actually think about the moms and dads, the husbands and wives, the grandmas and grandpas who are sitting around the kitchen table every day trying to figure out how to pay the bills, trying to figure out how to grow their family, trying to figure out how to protect their family, trying to figure out if they're going to have a job tomorrow, and actually get down to talking about things that are actually of importance to the people sitting around the kitchen table every night, worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, and you're out trying to figure out how a father can get pregnant. I mean, how does that correlate to the issues that are of concern to the people in the state of Connecticut? I don't understand it. I've been doing this a long time. I now know what Alice felt like when she went down the rabbit hole. and I just don't know that, you know, we're ever going to get back to, like, let's really deal with things of importance that have a real impact on people's lives every day.
But see, Ben, this is where I want listeners to really really dissect this. Just take a moment and look at this. This is a professional. This is a medical professional who happens to be a state legislator. Now, look, when the dust settles, she knows very well that men can't get pregnant, right? I mean, we tease, we exaggerate, we're sarcastic, but we know that Nurse Martha Marks, state representative, cannot.
Senator.
Oh, excuse me, she's a state senator. Pardon me.
State senator.
She knows that men can't get pregnant, but the bigger picture here is, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to really observe how much their party has a hold of them, okay?
Yeah.
To the point where here's a medical professional. She is a registered nurse. She took all the classes and courses and exams that you have to in order to, that you need to obtain in order to become a registered nurse. She knows, obviously, we're kidding here, you know, she knows men can't get pregnant, but because the Democrat Party rules their life. They have their marching orders. It's coming from, D.C., that she has to get along. She has got to play along to get along, that she cannot march out of order. And she's been indoctrinated with propaganda that she needs to now convince herself that everything that she learned to obtain her nursing license, her party has such a strong hold on her that she needs to forego medical science and sign on to the rhetoric of the Democrat Party when it comes to these transgenders.
Yeah.
It's just very, very sad. Where Republicans have minds, and we're trying to discern what's fact from fiction, and we're not afraid to speak up. You know, I mean, if our party was telling us this, that's probably more diversity in the Republican Party than in the Democrat Party, because we would buck the system and call the party out and say, you're wrong. You know, I mean, and that's just the difference. It's one of the many differences between the Republican and Democrat Party. I got to take a break. Do you want to add something to that before we come back with something completely different?
No, I think, you know, you're right. And I think it gets back to, you know, we've lost the ability to legislate with common sense and to live our lives with common sense. And it's become more important that we have, you know, politically correct words as opposed to understanding, as you said, the science, understanding the math, understanding the logic of the world, and undertaking rules and laws and regulations that recognize that and undertake things that, as I said earlier on, actually address the problems that are facing this country, are facing our state.
I get that.
We can actually make life better for people.
Senator Martha Marks had an opportunity and saying, I'm a registered nurse, and let me just set the record straight. You know, this is you're getting into politics and labeling, and you want to call it this, you want to call it that. Well, let me tell you, I'm a medical professional, and no, this is not a pregnant person, because men can't get pregnant. You want to talk politics, talk politics. I'm talking facts. They're expected mothers. I got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
And they'll tell you it has to do with transgender rights. You know what? Regardless of where you are on that particular issue, if we go back to 2020, we can go back to 2020 and we can, you know, talk about COVID and we can talk about everything that went on during COVID. But the biggest thing that went on during COVID is follow the science. Okay, I will follow the science. I follow the science in COVID. I had no issues with that. Follow
there
the science.
Go. That's right.
The science says men can't get pregnant.
There you go. Ben, stay right there.
Says.
I gotta take a break. Just stay right there. More with Ben Proto right after this.
Elevate your legacy with Daley Connerton Memorial Company. Introducing Daley Connerton Monuments, where dreams take shape in stone. Immerse in custom craftsmanship, where every chisel stroke narrates a tale. Transform memories into magnificent monuments while you cherish the past, celebrate the present, and immortalize your story in granite and marble. Let Daley Connerton carve your vision into reality, creating iconic monuments that stand as a testament to your legacy. Call Daley Connerton, 860-242-4133. Daley Connerton, where memories live forever.
When shopping for appliances, where do you stop first? A big box store? They might be your first stop, but Ferrari's Appliance will be your last. From laundry to dishwashers, stoves to refrigerators, Ferrari's Appliance has all the name brands at the price you can afford. And they install and service everything they sell. Enough with the pushy salespeople and impersonal customer service. Head to Ferrari's Appliance in Newington or Naugatuck and discover why people from all over choose them over everyone else. Online at Ferrari'sAppliance.com.
Never a dull moment. The Talk in Connecticut, 103.3 and 104.5, wants your opinion. Call 860-243-1360.
24 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, our guest is the chairman of the Connecticut Republican Party. Joins us every other Tuesday, Ben Proto. Ben, 2 weeks ago today was the Connecticut primary, and I guess it pretty much, I mean, there's very little drama to it. What was the turnout like?
Turnout was low. I think if I recall correctly, looking at some of the final numbers, I think it was somewhere in the 10-11% range, roughly, on both sides. It was somewhat anticlimactic. I mean, we had already known who the nominees were going to be on each side. But I think it also allowed for the opportunity for a couple things. One, obviously, I know we did and the Democrats did encourage people to vote, express your opinion. That's why we have the elections. But it also gave us the opportunity to utilize early voting for the first time. And we found some issues with it. You know, I've spoken with the secretary's office. They have found some issues with it. We found some issues that we relate to them about it, things that are going to have to be addressed. I know the ROVAC, which is the Registrar of Voters conference is this week, and I know they're going to probably be talking about that and how to deal with some of those issues. And I think, you know, one of the things that we did find, and the legislature is clearly going to have to address with early voting, is the cost structure of this, what it's costing towns to do this, and how it's going to impact towns, particularly as we get into the general election when we have 14 days. We all kind of forget that Connecticut is not like the rest of the country, where we don't have regional and county government. So we don't have large blocks of geography that are controlled by an election commission in most cases, that we do this in each town. So you have a town like Union, you know, which has maybe 600 or 700 total voters in it, I think. For 14 days, they're going to have to man a polling station. The cost to that is going to be very expensive given the total number of voters, as opposed to a place like Stanford that has 120,000 voters. So I think it's something the legislature is going to have to take a look at and probably figure out, maybe some better ways to approach this.
Ben, people want to know if we can bring, or you can bring, Donald Trump into Connecticut during his campaign this summer.
That's going to be up to the Trump campaign and where they're going. And if I had to guess where they're going, Connecticut is not probably a place that they're coming. It's not a battleground state. They're going to live in those seven states. That's where the election is going to be won or lost. So again, how they allocate their resources is going to be entirely up to the Trump campaign. But again, as we look at the way our presidential elections are run on a state-by-state basis, there's seven states out there where this election is going to be won.
No, and I understand that, but
that's where they're going
to
be.
I hear he wants to try to visit all 50 states. And knowing that George Logan has an incredible opportunity this year taking on Johanna Hayes, I thought maybe there'd be some, a Trump appearance. But you're saying that's less likely then.
I mean, if I had to allocate resources from the Trump campaign, The Northeast is probably not fertile territory for him. At the end of the day, you know, where is he going to pick up electoral votes? It's all about finding electoral votes. And considering how close this election is, literally could come down to a few electoral votes either way. I think the allocation of resources is going to be in those places where they have an opportunity to win electoral votes in a toss-up state.
Jerry Smith running against Chris Murphy for U.S. Senate. Is there anyone challenging him, or is it Jerry Smith solely the challenge, Chris Murphy?
There's a couple of folks out there who have, you know, kind of popped their heads up, but I don't think anyone of any serious, anyone who's really serious.
Do we have challengers for all congressional seats?
We have challengers in the third. We have challengers in the second. We have challengers in the fourth right now. I believe we have two people who are interested in the first as well.
Okay. All right. That's it. He is the chairman of the Connecticut Republican Party, joining us every other Tuesday. I thank you for your time this morning, and I look forward to 2 weeks from today.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys. You have a good one.
You got it there. Ben Proto. All right. When we come back, open phones, whatever's on your mind, we can discuss. Stay right there.
WDRC, celebrating 100 years.
You know, we've been talking about it a little bit yesterday and even this morning when we had Ben Proto on last hour. And I was looking at the bill. It's kind of interesting. In case you're just joining us, I know a lot of people slept in this morning. The game went late last night. But there's legislation that aimed at maximizing federal resources for mental health services. This is really for young children, their caregivers, and, you know, expecting mothers. And all right, so the bill had already gone through the Human Services Committee. It was setting up a debate and a vote in the Appropriations Committee. But the bill itself wasn't necessarily the problem back on Thursday. It was one line in the language of the bill. All right. So the bill referred to pregnant persons. Well, pregnant persons? Do you mean expecting mothers? What's a pregnant person? I can't get pregnant. And if you put lipstick on me and a dress, guess what? I still can't get pregnant. But State Representative Robin Porter, who I served with, I know, I never had any issues with her. I know she's a very liberal Democrat, but I never had any issues with her. She was referring to the bill and said that the type of language excludes mothers, which she identifies as. In fact, I think she even said she identifies as a grandmother as well. And she filed an amendment to add expectant mothers to the bill. Her amendment didn't remove pregnant persons or take anything away from any other group, only added. And, you know, uber liberal Democrats, of course, just about all of these Dems kind of fit into that category, didn't like the amendment. Said that pregnant persons is the inclusive DEI term that we should strive for. But Porter was backed by several members of the Black and Latino caucus explaining how important the role of mother is in their culture. And this set up a very unusual situation where Democrats were sparring with other Democrats. Some Democrat men mansplained to Porter and other women who wanted expectant mother added. They tried to block the amendment, said Porter didn't follow the right process. And then another super liberal Democrat, State Senator Martha Karl Marx, opposed the amendment from Porter and said if expectant mother is added, other categories of individuals carrying babies but who don't identify as women should also be added, such as pregnant father. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Can you believe our state legislature is debating pregnant father? And this is why we can't get things done. Good morning. It is 8:12, 12 minutes after the hour of 8. It's Gary Byron with you on this Tuesday morning. Our next guest into the Daly Connerton Memorial Company interview chair proudly serves on the legislature's Finance, Revenue, and Bonding Committee, as well as Public Health, Education, and the Management Legislative Management Committee. Let's welcome to the show State Representative Leslie Zupkis. Representative, good morning.
Hi, good morning. It's so nice to be here, and thank you for having me.
Are you kidding me? I was excited when I saw your name on there. I don't think I've chatted with you in years.
I know. It has been a while. It's good to hear your voice.
Yours as well. And how are things in your district?
Well, my district is good, and they've had it with all this nonsense that's going on in Hartford. And you know, we're debating this whole expectant person, mother, all of this, when basically we need to look at financing and how our state is doing and taxes. There's so much to work on. And these liberal Democrats pushing this nonsense is just absurd.
Yeah, I agree. A pregnant father. pregnant persons. Well, it's a pregnant woman. And I was explaining, I mean, look, if I decided I woke up tomorrow and I said, you know what, I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. I put some lipstick on me and some rouge. I don't know. I'm just making it. I don't know. Put a dress on me. Oh, my goodness. That'd be a sight for sore eyes right there. But play with me here and put me some high heels on me. And let's say, well, now I feel a lot more comfortable. Okay, fine. Now, I'm not trying to make light of that.
Right.
There are people who, feel more comfortable in with makeup or certain clothing. Mm-hmm. You know what? You're not hurting me. Live and let live. I don't care. You know, you're not bothering me. That's not. In fact, it's really none of my business.
Exactly.
But no. But that said, even if I put makeup on, a wig, and high heels and a dress, Leslie, I can't get pregnant. So where's this dispute? Where is the debate? Why is there a debate on this?
Well, you know, Gary, this started last year. Well, it's been for a while, but I don't know if you'll remember last year. It was the last night of session. The budget had passed, and there was a probate bill that was actually a good piece of legislation. And we started listening to it, and it was taking the word mother out of legislation. Mm. And so Representative Mastro Francesco got up and was speaking, and then I got up. And basically, they were taking me, they were saying birthing parent. Well, I'm not a birthing parent. I never gave birth to my children. My children are adopted. And so I got up and spoke on the floor. And there are many people that have adopted kids or are adopted themselves. And they were basically erasing us from legislation. And so after that debate, the bill died. And then they came to me and said, what can we do? I said, you have to take that piece out. This is ridiculous. We need to be building families up instead of tearing families down. And I feel that happens in Hartford. So they took that piece out. Well, you know what happens in Hartford. They come back in time and time and time again. And these same liberal Democrats, and interestingly enough, the Democrats that pushed for that in that specific bill, when they pulled it out and the bill ran, it was a good bill. There were 5 liberal Democrats that voted against the bill because their piece was pulled out of it, which just goes to show you what they're really there for. And so it's back, this piece of legislation. And I've met with probate court judges and the leadership in the probate courts. And their reasoning is they want language to be consistent. And I said, okay, well, then let's put mother in everything. Why you want me to be open to take mother out? Will you be open to put mother in? or stop asking for it to be taken out. But of course, they wouldn't hear of that. And so these same liberal Democrats tried to push it through, and there are a couple of other bills that have removed the word mother out of, and we are watching them. And so this year I proposed a piece of legislation, and the Black and Latino caucus and the Republicans, they were all behind it. We all signed on to it, many of the Black and Latino caucus members. And of course, the bill never ran, as you know. And so instead of my bill running, they've run these bills that take the word mother out and put in expected person or any of this other stuff. So, you know, kudos to Robin Porter. I don't serve on appropriations, but kudos to her. We're on it and we are watching. And like you said, you know, people can be whoever they are. You can identify whoever you are, but we have rights too. And mothers are a very sacred piece of our fabric,
yeah, of course,
of who we are. And only women can get pregnant. Whatever you identify as, it doesn't matter. You have to have certain parts, female parts, to be pregnant. And so, you know, Robin, Representative Porter, it wasn't the intent to take out expecting persons, but put mother in there. We want to be mothers. We are mothers. You cannot take away a God-given right from us.
Yeah, you know, I was explaining earlier in the show, like back in a couple hours ago in the 6 o'clock hour, that just because a bill goes and passes through the committee process, including appropriations, the largest committee that there is in the legislature, doesn't necessarily mean that the bill will get called. And even if it gets called in one chamber, that doesn't guarantee that it will get called in the other chamber. And as we all know, it's got to clear both chambers before the governor can sign it and make it officially law. Do you anticipate that because it passed with the language contained, that it upset and ruffled a lot of liberal, woke, left, progressive Democrats, and maybe Ritter won't even end up calling the bill at all?
Well, you know, it's an election year. So to answer your first question, yes, I think it ruffled the feathers of these very liberal Democrats. I don't think they were happy about it at all, but neither are we, you know. And so I don't know if it will get called or not. They may say, nope, we're not calling this one because there's a few more out there. And so trust me, and you know this, they are going to do, the liberal Democrats are going to do anything they can to get it passed. And just, they it's like eating an elephant one bite at a time, right? Or death by a thousand cuts. Mm. That's what they do. And, you know, I don't know that Speaker Ritter wants to go down this road at this point. I think, again, you know politics. It's an election year. So people are really cautious about what they're going to fight and what, you know, what's going to come out. But, it, you know, if it doesn't do this year, they're going to push it again next year.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, we just have to be vigilant and constant. This is one of many things that we have to watch. But unfortunately, you know, this to me is extremely important.
All right, Representative, stay right there. I've got to take a very short break. We're going to come right back, more with State Representative Leslie Zupkis right after this.
Mom is gradually losing more and more of her memory, and I know it's only going to get worse. She doesn't want to move. The memories she has at home are special to her, but she needs help, help I can't give her. That's why I leave her memory care needs to Your American Home Care for You. They do it all so that my time with Mom is about us.
Make your time together memorable and leave the cooking, cleaning, bathing, errands, and memory care to Euro American Home Care of Berlin, 860-829-0208. That's 860-829-0208. Online at homecare, the number 4, the letter U.com.
Everyone is looking to get rid of facial wrinkles through facial rejuvenation. Dolan Dental in Weathersfield is now offering BTL, a non-invasive muscle-building and facial rejuvenation treatment that works by delivering controlled thermal energy to the deeper layers of the skin. This helps to stimulate collagen production and tighten the skin. There's little to no downtime, and it gives a more natural and youthful appearance. It can also strengthen muscle and burn fat in key areas of the body. DolanDental.com or BodyByBTL.com for more information.
Number one for breaking news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor, the talk of Connecticut, AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
23 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, our guest state representative, Leslie Zupkus. Representative, it just seems that we've seen more and more of this DEI nonsense over the last few years. Look, it wasn't that long ago that I was right up there voting on bills with you, and I don't remember any of the DEI or wokeness. I mean, this is relatively new, not brand new, but it's relatively new. How do you navigate your way through legislation in this environment?
Well, you know, Gary, you know, when you were up there, yes, I do believe it's become more liberal. I think, you know, we need a bigger balance up there, to be quite honest. The best time, and I don't recall if you were there at the time when in the House we were 4 votes shy,
yes,
of a majority, and the Senate was tied.
I was there. That was in 2017, 2018, yeah.
Yes, right. And we passed the first Republican budget, and that was the best time, because we needed each other. We negotiated. We had good conversations. We had some good legislation that passed, and we stopped some bad legislation. And that's how it should be. It should not be so far one-sided either way, quite honestly. But, you know, I always say to people, look over the last 50 years, whether it's DEI, whether it's our financial status of our state, whatever it is, are we in better shape than we were then? Give the Republicans a shot. Put us in charge for once and see what you think. You know, there's so many other things to focus on, juvenile crime, you know, people wanting to blow through the fiscal guardrails, all of these things. And we are always debating these woke diversity. And you heard Representative Gilchrist. She wants this. She wants this to be the way of Connecticut and the way of our country and the way of the world. So, you know, it's just that we have to be vigilant and on it constantly. We need to be building our families up. We need to be building our children up. We talk about, you know, all these concentrated poverty sectors and deserts, healthcare deserts. You know, let's start focusing a little bit on this, but stop putting good money after things that aren't working too. So in the scheme, there's so many things to be focused on. Instead, we have to take part of our energy and efforts and focus on this DEI and this all this woke stuff. The first time education. I mean, there's so many things.
Well, you're on that committee. Have you discussed some of the inappropriate books that are being marketed towards young children?
Yes. And you know, there was a bill that came out about librarians, and it passed committee. I didn't support it. But they're giving librarians all the authority and have taken it away from the Board of Education. And I'm not for banning books. Listen, but there are certain books that are age appropriate and should be in that age appropriate section of the library. I don't want my daughter opening up a book learning about oral sex or any of these things. Mm-hmm. That's not appropriate. We should be teaching our kids reading, writing, math, science, all of these issues. But I'll tell you, in education, the first time ever, there was these reading waivers, but it's the first time that the State Department of Education has forced the school districts to purchase curriculum. Well, what's in this curriculum? Why do districts have to purchase this never before. And so, you know, it's, we have to really be cautious because that is a very slippery slope.
Is that one of the most egregious things that you've seen come before the education committee?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is really a big issue, and it's a very long story, but they, the State Department of Education made districts do all this data research, and the districts that K through three read on grade level, so in the Hartford, Bridgeports, they got a waiver. The schools that are 80% reading on grade level did not, and they have to purchase this curriculum. It makes no sense whatsoever. And so that's a whole nother, these are things that we need to be fighting and really working on. But yet we've got tampons in boys' bathrooms. We've got, you know, all of this woke expecting persons.
Leslie, how powerful is the teachers' union in this state?
Well, I would think they're pretty powerful. They are powerful. I will tell you, though, I know a lot of teachers in my district, and they don't necessarily see eye to eye all the time with teachers' unions.
Yeah, and I hear more and more teachers are opting out of dues, and that should be a strong message. It apparently, it's not, but it should be a strong message to the teachers' union.
Absolutely.
State Representative Leslie Zupkus, it was so wonderful hearing from you. Boy, we can't let this amount of time go by again. Maybe after, we'll do a wrap-up with you after the session's over. How's that?
I would love that. Thank you, Gary. Take care.
You do the same. All right. It's great to hear former colleagues, especially one who we haven't had on. I don't even know if we ever had her on. But we'll get her back on again. State Representative Leslie Zupkus. When we return, it's open phones. I see two lines open. One of them has got your name on it. All you have to do is dial.
Play as your promo code.
Number one for breaking news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor. The Talk of Connecticut. AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
8 minutes in front of 9 o'clock here on this Tuesday morning. Our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair joins us every other Tuesday. Let's welcome back to the show George Agnelli. Hey, George. Well, we wish you had your mic on, though.
Oh, we should.
That
would help.
There we go. All right.
Yeah, we got jokes. You know, it's the day after the eclipse. You know, it can't be perfect.
Did you watch the eclipse?
Oh, yeah. I went down to the beach. It was gorgeous from Cornfield Point. The sun was just the right way to pass. The moon was a full eclipse in Old Saybrook because of the way the beach is sideways. That's why we get the great sunsets there.
I think it's the only place in Connecticut where you can watch the sunset over the water in the west.
Yes. It's just the way the beach is set up. It's perfect.
Because the beach is on the side.
Right. It's on the side. It's not facing
Right.
Yep. It's facing Westbrook.
Correct. Yes.
Yep.
I tried to explain that to somebody one time, and they're like, "That's not possible."
Yeah, it is. We have the best. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We put palm trees up. If we got 50 cents for everybody that would pull up and take a picture at sunset with a palm tree, we'd all be retired.
I haven't been there yet this year. It's always a staple of love going to Cornfield Point.
Ton of fun. A lot of people on the beach yesterday watching the eclipse.
You had a busy day yesterday because you were also at the bank. I heard you had quite an excursion.
I know we're in trouble because in 06 they were pulling business credit lines. So my friend calls me up and he goes, "Hey, George, the bank froze my credit line and I don't know what to do." And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, and he's got plenty of money because he's bought gold for me over the years. So he goes, on a $100,000 credit line, I owe $17,000. I have $21,000 in my checkbook, and they froze my checkbook to pay the credit line. They just decided to call the credit line." And I said, "Well, you're at a lower interest rate?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm at 3.5%. I said, "Well, that's why they're calling it." So he goes, "Well, I got payroll. I don't have any, you know, business checks coming in for about a week before I see money start coming in. Will you buy a couple gold coins back off me?" I'm like, "Sure." I said, "You know, give me $4,500 for two gold coins, which is worth $4,650. I'm like, "No problem." So I had a check from a closing from a lawyer that was $5,000 from a bank in Old Saybrook. So I go to the bank in Old Saybrook and I say, "Hey, I want to cash this check so I can meet this guy." And I didn't even tell him. I just want to cash this check. It's none of your business what I need with the money. So the girl goes, "Well, do you have an account here?" I said, "No, but it's a business check made out to my name." So, okay. And she wasn't the brightest. You know, my daughter calls them bricks rather than dumber than rocks.
The brightest brick?
Yeah, she wasn't the brightest brick. So anyway, she goes, "It's a $20 fee to cash a check." I said, "Where is it posted?" I said, "You know, whatever I charge a lawnmower repair at the hardware store, it has to be posted. How many hours? How much I'm paying for gold has to be posted. Everything has to be posted in the state of Connecticut." So I said, "Where is this posted?" So she said, "Okay." So then she goes, "Well, I got to verify this check." Oh. His phone number, the lawyer's phone number, is not on the business file. Here, I'll give you the phone number. So she calls the lawyer. "Yeah, I'm looking for George Agnelli." "No, no, no. George Agnelli's trying to cash Kevin's check. You're looking for Kevin." So she calls. Kevin verifies. "Yes, it's check." "Well, it's $20 fee to cash the check because you don't have an account here." Again, it's not posted. So we go through all that. She checks all the check, and she's checking every part. The date's right. This, I'm like, holy cow. I go, "Ma'am, it's only $5,000. And she said, "Well, that's a lot of money." I said, "Okay." She said, "Oh, I need your Social Security number now." I said, "No, you don't." I said, "It's $7,000 cash. If I pull $7,000 or deposit $7,000, I got to report where it came from. $5,000 doesn't exist." So she goes, "No, our bank says $3,000. I said, "Okay, show me where."
Why don't you just ask for the manager at this point? Because, you said, she may be new.
She was the manager.
Oh, are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So when I said a brick waited on me. So she's only manager there because through attrition, everybody left, and she's the one with the most experience. So anyway, so then unfortunately the check was written. I have Webster accounts, but Webster closed in Old Saybrook, so I had to go to Essex to get the cash. So to make $150 on a little bit of gold, I spent a lot of time cashing a check. You know?
Did you end up getting whacked for the $25?
No, I went to my bank and cashed it.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I took cash. Oh, no, I still have the check in my account. I'm going to the East Hartford branch because that manager keeps coming to my store every day and wants me to switch all my accounts to him, which is a fat chance of no, because if I wrote you a check for gold and you didn't have an account at that bank and you're going to charge my customer $20 every time you cash my business check, I'm never opening a
Do you
check.
Have to go – you don't have to go to your bank in order to get a cash check, right? If you wrote me a check right now for $100, let's just say, and I didn't go to my bank where I have an account. Let's say
you should be able to go to my bank and cash a check.
Yeah.
Without paying a fee.
Can I go to any bank?
Well, not. You can't go to the one I went to in Old Saybrook because they'll charge you a fee. If my account was at that bank and I wrote you a check, you'd be paying $20 to cash that
but
check.
I could go to your bank
you
and
go
not,
to my
and
bank
not pay
and
a fee.
Should not have to. That's what happens now. It's the way we have it set up because we write 30, 40 checks a week for gold because law says we have to write a check for all the gold we purchase. So you have to be able to go to the bank and cash that check. And if you don't have an account there,
How is gold doing, by the way? It's doing extremely
it's
well,
every
right?
Day.
Yeah. Okay. Oh,
every
here's,
day.
But we're selling the country is selling more gold on paper because it doesn't even have the actual gold.
If you've got a piece of paper saying you have gold, you're in the futures market. So if you buy $100,000 worth of gold from one of the big companies, they're going to send you a piece of paper that you have and they put the money into gold futures. So the money's in the stock market illegally, really, because you don't have the product you bought. And if you call up and say, let's say the stock market collapses, you say, "Okay, send me my gold." They don't have it
because there's not enough.
There's not enough.
We're selling more gold than there actually is of gold.
We're selling paper. We're not selling gold. We're selling paper that a promise to pay you. Sound familiar?
Oh.
So if you buy gold, you should have it shipped to wherever you buy it and pick it up there, so nobody knows it was shipped to your house.
Boy, you gotta plan for everything.
You don't have to be. You have to be.
How's real estate going?
Real estate's, you only got 20% to sell, so it's tough.
What's the rate right now? Is it
7? I think it's dropping to 5.5 to 6.
No!
With
5.5?
5.5 to 6, but you got to pay 2 points to get that money. Rates are dropping because the banks aren't doing business.
I thought Friday we just had a record day. Wasn't it 7.5 or almost 8 on Friday?
Yeah, but the banks aren't doing business. So they can't write loans unless they're doing it. So they're offering a lot of different things. They're offering 40-year, where the first 10 years you don't only pay interest only. There's so many things out there right now.
We got to talk real estate one time.
Yes.
Maybe next time, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, sure.
We'll spend the whole time talking real estate.
Yes.
All right.
George Agnelli. Great to see you. You're looking spectacular as always.
Yeah, I got that nice stem cell shot, so it's good.
You got the stem cell shot?
Yeah, I got the Fountain of Youth shot.
Well, we got to talk about that as well.
Yeah.
Top of the hour, Fox News break. When we come back, Oklahoma State School Superintendent. Wait till you hear this. Ryan Walters. This is going to be fun. Stay with us.
They are paying for what their son did. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox
or
News.
Or the letter U.com.
Number one news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor. The talk of Connecticut. AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
All right, I'm going to ask you all a question. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it. All right. How woke do you think the public education school system is? Kind of a silly question, right? You're like, oh, Gary, come on. You know it. We've talked about it many times on the morning. All right, you're right. So you would say very woke. How do I want to word this? DEI, right? Diversity, inclusion, equity. Or actually, I did that.
You did it backwards.
That's DIE. That's die.
Yeah. I before E.
Except after C. Yeah. Right? That's right. DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Yes. I like die better.
Die's better.
It's right. That's what happens when you have a little too much diversity, equity, and inclusion. The nation starts to die.
Yep.
And it's happening right before our very eyes. Well, you know, and that's something that a lot of the public educators are promoting in their schools, right? Because it seems to be, well, that's the world today. Well, the world today is what we choose to make the world. And if you go in that direction, then that's what the world is going to be today. If you go into another direction, well, that's what the world will be. And if you don't like something, you try to change it. And what? Majority rules, right? It kind of works itself out. So if we have DEI and a woke society, and that's pervasive in this society, well, then that means the overwhelming majority of people want it. Otherwise, it wouldn't exist. Unless it exists because it's being rammed down our throats. Sometimes it's not the majority of what the majority people want. It's whoever is the loudest. Remember the term, the silent majority. See, most people that I chat with, including some Democrats, I say some, but they're probably more moderate, they're not into a woke society. I know Democrats that, you know, we're kind of liberal, unless it comes to wokeness. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Do you want somebody operating on your child? And the only reason why they were hired is because it checked off a box more than it checked off their merit. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 12 minutes after the hour of 9 on this Tuesday morning. Glad to have you on board the old morning train. Our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair is an Oklahoma State School superintendent, perhaps one of the last superintendents in our good old U.S. of A, who is anti-woke, who is anti-diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let's welcome to the show Ryan Walters. Ryan, good morning.
Thank you guys for having me on. Actually, I think you got the acronym right there, because when you put woke in our schools, their academics go to die, truth goes to die. So I like that, actually.
Wow. Well, here's a quote from you. Whatever the educational option parents choose, I want to make sure they have one place to go where they can navigate their options for their child, end quote. That's you, right?
Hey, well, you know, that's right. You know, we opened up the Office of School Choice here in our agency. We're one of the only states to do that because we want every parent to not only have school choice options, we want them to know about it. We want them to know all about the different schools around them so they can pick the best school for their kids. And you know, I was on with the local media this morning, and they were attacking me going, well, you know, doesn't this, you know, hurt the public schools? I go, no, it helps kids. It helps kids. We want kids to go to good schools. We know parents know best for kids. We want schools to compete for kids. We want government out of the way. We want to help parents out. So it's, to me, common sense.
So you're saying that Oklahoma is just as woke as Connecticut or any other state in our nation?
Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, and I thought you described this really well. Look at the country. Look at the problems we're having. Those problems are in large part due to where our education system has been. Mm. You tell kids for decade after decade that the country is an evil, racist country, guess what? They grow up to hate their country. You have them grow up and you tell them that faith and moral value is a joke and you shouldn't participate in that and you undermine it. Well, guess what? You have less kids that think morality is important, less kids that think religion is important. And so what we've got today is the society that's been produced by our education system. It, to your point, absolutely. It has been very woke in Oklahoma. We had the teachers' unions controlling the schools, even in a red state. But that's the power of the union stronghold and, frankly, the federal government. We've seen the Biden administration weaponize the Federal Department of Education like never before. And they are applying pressure to all states, especially your red states.
So if you're in a red state, then how woke can the teachers union be? I mean, you know, this sounds like David versus Goliath.
All right. Well, you ready for this?
Yeah.
So our teachers union is one of the biggest contributors to political candidates here in the state of Oklahoma. They
Same
spent
here.
Millions of dollars against me in my race. They also, we had a drag queen running a public school, a drag queen.
Wow.
We had genderqueer inflamer in our biggest districts in the state as a curriculum that I was told is inclusive. Kids have to know about transgender ism, and they have to watch sex scenes in grade school to be inclusive. We said, that's ridiculous. I now have a district, one of our largest districts, suing me, saying that, no, I shouldn't have the right to pull any kind of pornographic material off of their shelves because they're just trying to be inclusive, you see. So I'm the bad guy for standing with parents when parents go, yeah, I don't want my kid reading Flamer in fourth grade. That's ridiculous. I don't need them seeing the sexual images when they're in grade school. And yet the schools are literally suing me in the Oklahoma Supreme Court right now to block me from being able to do that.
So when I was 16, if I wanted to buy a Playboy or a Penthouse, and I'm not even sure those magazines are even in circulation anymore, but let's say I go to a 7-Eleven, that magazine was not on the magazine stand. It was behind the counter with a black cellophane or a black band around it where you couldn't even see the cover of the magazine. And I had to prove that I was 18 in order to purchase it. So what's happening now is that elementary school students have easy access to pornographic images, not only in their public library, but are you saying also in their public elementary school library?
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you, you know, for your listeners there, I showed some of these books like Gender Queer, Flamer, Lawn Boy, and in a board meeting because I had the local media going, it's really not that bad. I go, okay, well, here's the images. Show them on TV tonight. Let your viewers decide. You know, how bad is it? All of them told us, we can't show them. They're too graphic. One producer even told me, look, there might be kids watching in the audience. We can't show them those images. I go, guys, I found these in school. You're missing the point.
Yeah.
These are being given to our kids under the guise of inclusivity. Again, I literally have some superintendents arguing with me about it, about, well, you got to be inclusive, and sexuality is part of being inclusive. I go, no, they don't. They need to know math. They need to know how to read. They need to know American history. And I'll be honest with you, it cuts across party lines. It is a very radical element of the left that believe that you should be showing graphic pornography to a first grader.
All right, but see, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, look, I talk to Democrats and independents all the time. They're like, hey, we're not with you on everything, but we're with you on that right there. Like, you're 100% right. Let's get back to the basics.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to comment on. It's like, all right, listen, I understand the ideological differences between Republicans and Democrats. I served in office. I was in campaigns. Believe me, I know all about that. But, I mean, there's also an element of common sense where of parenthood. I can't imagine any parent, regardless of their party affiliation, so freely allowing their, maybe not 17-year-old, but 7-year-old, to be looking at graphic illustrations of oral sex or any other type, any sex, really, for that matter, at that age. And by the way, my question to you, Ryan, is when I was 7 years old, man, I just wanted to get on my dirt bike, you know, and play in dirt and do a couple of jumps and you know, and maybe go home at night and play with my Matchbox cars. I mean, do seven-year-olds really understand even what heterosexuality is, just sexuality in general? What is the purpose of this?
You're exactly right. I mean, there shouldn't be any sexuality in a grade school. It doesn't make any sense. Like, what are you doing with kids that would have no ability to understand it? Well, they want to indoctrinate them. They believe that being transgender is being enlightened. And so they want kids to understand and push them towards these lifestyle choices, when in reality, hey, our schools seem to be better at doing the basics. We're not doing well in math, reading, science, much less going into this social engineering.
I wonder why.
Well, they're true believers. Listen, wokeism is a mind virus. I truly believe that. You listen to them and you go, this is the most bizarre argument I've ever heard. You think a fourth grader needs to understand sexuality? That's absurd. Sounds like something out of Freud, right? But it is what it means to be woke. They believe is to undermine every American tradition and become open to these new ways of living. And so they believe that it's absolutely essential that kids understand transgenderism and sexuality in early grade schools.
Are you the only school administrator or superintendent in Oklahoma that's got a moral compass? Are you telling me that you can't find any other school administrator that wants to protect children? I mean, this sounds predatory.
I will say this. We have a lot of good superintendents here that are with me on this.
Okay. Okay, good.
So we do have good school administrators that are going, but I'll tell you, they say the same thing. Yep, we bought curriculum, and you won't believe the type of books that were in the curriculum. So we took it out. We removed it. But, yeah, we have folks flagging for us. Honestly, the good thing about being in a red state is I get a lot of complaints from parents where they tell me about what's going on. I also get a lot of complaints from teachers and administrators that go, whoa, 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 what is this? Hey, we want to flag it for you guys so that you know in the Department of Education that this is bad. I mean, where is this transgenderism coming from? Where are these books about sexuality coming from targeted to first graders? So luckily, we have a lot of good common sense folks in our school systems that still help us in ridding our schools of this filth.
Ryan, stay right there. I got to take a short break. When I come back, I want to ask you if you're losing any teachers or having a difficult, if they're taking early retirement, or if you're having trouble recruiting new teachers, knowing that, ooh, I don't want to teach that. That's not what they signed up for. More with Ryan Walters right after this.
Cleveland's Country Store, a full, all-natural grocery store and deli serving premium Boar's Head meats and cheeses. Products from all over New England. Bread and pancake mixes, jams and jellies, Vermont syrups, condiments, Fox and Park beverages, Fosha's chocolates, gluten-free products, dog treats, hundreds of other items, and yummy sweet tooth for Buck's ice cream and old school candy.
There's a great big candy roundup.
Two awesome locations. Main Street Plymouth and Oak Avenue Torrington. Treat yourself and your family to Cleveland's Country Store. ClevelandsCountryStore.com.
When shopping for appliances, where do you stop first? A big box store? They might be your first stop, but Ferrari's Appliance will be your last. From laundry to dishwashers, stoves to refrigerators, Ferrari's Appliance has all the name brands at the price you can afford. And they install and service everything they sell. Enough with the pushy salespeople and impersonal customer service. Head to Ferrari's Appliance in Newington or Naugatuck and discover why people from all over choose them over everyone else. Online at Ferrari'sAppliance.com.
The voice of reason. Gary Byron and Joe the Producer on the Talk of Connecticut, WDRC AM 1360 and 103.3 FM.
24 minutes after the hour of 9, our guest is Oklahoma State School Superintendent Ryan Walters. Ryan, I would imagine the one of the many responsibilities of a school superintendent is, of course, overseeing not only students, but faculty, staff members, teachers, and of course, having the best teachers that are available to you and hiring them. Are you having a difficult time retaining old school teachers who got into the profession in a different era because they wanted to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, not do you want to, does little Sally want to change her sexual orientation, or does little Joey want to change his gender? And consequently, having a are you having a difficult time also recruiting new teachers at all? How does, is Oklahoma, are you suffering that?
This is a great question. This is one of the things that you hear of the corporate media. They never talk about it, do they? They talk about teacher shortage. They talk about things like teacher pay, but they don't talk about the fact that we have teacher after teacher saying, I'm not going to do this. I'm not coming into a school district to talk about sexuality. I'm coming here to talk about math. The other thing we hear from a lot of teachers is these woke discipline policies. I don't know if you've seen some of these, but this whole belief that, you know, you're just going to hurt a kid's self-esteem if you redirect them or discipline them in a school and tell them, hey, you got to act right in a school. It's outrageous. It leads to absolute lawlessness. And so what you end up seeing is these good teachers go, well, I'm going to do something else. So what we've done in Oklahoma, we had a massive recruiting effort where we recruited some of the best teachers in the country. We gave them big signing bonuses up to $50,000 if they could show us that they were one of the most elite teachers. So we had hundreds of teachers that came to the state of Oklahoma through this program. And we launched a discipline initiative to get discipline back in schools. We put out a teacher bill of rights that said, look, no one's going to tell you you have to indoctrinate kids. No one's going to put you in a classroom and tell you that you can't have a good classroom environment where you actually have discipline and rules. And so us being able to do that, we have had the biggest recruiting effort in Oklahoma history by, again, embracing common sense policies and driving the wokeism out of our schools.
All right. So, but what that's resulted in nothing, right? Because you're still dealing with these issues every day. So you can have the best teachers, like you said, and that the country has to offer, but somebody's making these decisions to promote this curriculum that you are speaking of. What happens when teachers just say, "I'm sorry, the fiber of my being, my moral, won't allow me to go down this avenue. There's no need for us to go down this." What happens if they buck the system?
Yep. So what we've done is we have told the teachers unions we want them out of schools. We're tired of them going after these teachers. They're some of the worst ones that target these teachers that speak up. The other thing that we've done is we've ensured that in every district, if there's any kind of issue of wokeism being pushed on a teacher, they can reach out to us directly, and we move on that. We threaten districts' accreditation over this. Good. Administrators, we pull their licenses over this. So you cannot come in and force indoctrination on kids, and you can't come in and force indoctrination on teachers. And so we have continued to hold the line on that. And I will tell you, where the rubber meets the road is you got to hold them accountable. And we've had to pull teaching certificates, administrator certificates to say, listen, you're not going to do this in our schools. You can go get another job, mm-hmm. but we're not going to allow this in our schools.
What about the parents? I'm sure you must hear from parents on a daily basis. They're speaking up too, right? Are any of them actually in favor of this indoctrination?
No, I mean, you know, what you see is we hear a resounding response from parents of, we want the schools cleaned up. We want to focus on the basics. Look, they're worried. They're watching Joe Biden's vision for America driving this country in the wrong direction. They're going, look, I want my kid to be equipped to be able to navigate an economy with inflation. I want my kids to be able to navigate the world as it is right now. And we want our kids, honestly, to understand what makes America great and become good citizens so that they can have a good family, they can contribute to the community. And so that's what we continue to hear from parents is, hey, help my kids be ready to be a good person, a good citizen, and be able to go get a job. And so that's going to be our focus. But yes, the parents have been, it's been incredible because of their support and their push for this. We have been able to get school choice done. We've been able to drive the teachers' unions out of schools. We've been able to take this fight to the woke left in a way that no other state's doing right now.
What percentage of your students, Ryan, in Oklahoma, in your district, are have gender identity issues? Because in Connecticut, it's very, very, very small. It's a fraction.
Yeah, very, very small here. And that's where you see, you think about how much it's pushed. And you go, so we've got a very, very small percentage of our population that struggles with this issue. And yet, you know, it's all the left wants to talk about. It's what they want to emphasize. You saw it from the Biden administration on doing the Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter. It's just like they are so obsessed with this issue because the most radical elements of their base are obsessed with it that it's just, you're going, why are we talking about this? This shouldn't be something that we're talking about with kids, but frankly, even in society, why is this being pushed on us in such an aggressive way?
All right. Ryan Walters, Oklahoma State Superintendent. Listen, I can't thank you enough for your time. Keep up the fight there, my friend. I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Hey, I appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate the work you're doing.
I appreciate the work you're doing, too. We're coming right back to open phones. All our lines are open.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Norfolk Southern agrees to pay $600 million.